KFNC.
On Bellevue, Houston.
A Gao Media Station. ESPN 97.5.
Right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Just because it's late doesn't mean we're done yet.
And the server, that's a penalty!
And the quarterback, you kidding me, coach?
There's still plenty more hits to dish out.
Well, he really hit the shit out of that one, didn't he? Look at that, he hit the f***ing ball. That gets a free stay.
This is Late Hits.
Late Hits.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Texas Card House. Live from Texas Card House in Spring, here's Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock, and Abdul Foster.
We are live from Texas Card House in Spring. Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. And a great event tonight here at Texas Card House. Former World Series of Poker champ Chris Moneymaker is in the house playing games straight up here. Jason can explain a little better than I can. I'm still kind of a poker noob, but I'm learning, whereas you're much more of an expert at it than I am.
I think you use expert a little bit too loosely there.
Compared to me, you know, you qualify as an expert.
I was out here last night. I got to tell you, the place was packed. Like you said, 2003 World Series of Poker main event champion Chris Moneymaker was in the house last night. He's back here tonight, and he'll also be back out here tomorrow. Tournament's getting ready to kick off right now, 7 o'clock, $10,000 guaranteed, no limit hold'em. Get out here. I believe they're doing monster stacks tonight as well. $200 buy-in, $20 entry into the fee. If you don't have a membership, it's only $10 for the daily membership, $30 for the monthly membership. Come out here. It's definitely worth it. They've always got catered food out here that is delicious. Dollar beers. Again, we was out here last night, and they only had a $5,000 free roll, a guaranteed $5,000 free roll. It was so packed, the prize pool got up to $14,000 last night. And you're talking about a free roll with only $20 buy-ins. I played in that tournament. I was here from 7 to 11 o'clock before I busted out in 65th place last night. It was insane, wall to wall. They had a waiting list of over 40 people as alternates having to wait to get in on the tournament. Great excitement, awesome atmosphere. Make your way out here. I-45 and Spring Cypress Road. The address is 1411 Spring Cypress Road in Spring, Texas, 77381. You can get in here. You can rebuy in this tournament tonight. $10,000 guaranteed. And no matter where you're at and you're hearing this signal in Greater Houston and beyond, you have 2 hours to get here because you have all the way up until 9 o'clock to be able to buy into this tournament. You're definitely going to play this tournament tonight at Texas Card House out here in Spring, Texas.
I was speaking with the general manager, and he told me that because it went from 5,000 to 14,000 with all the people who participated in the tournament, winner went home with over $3,000.
Oh, man.
Think about that. What did you do today?
I don't want to think
played
about it.
Cards.
I got knocked out 65th place. I don't want to think about
it. I played cards. I went home with $3,000. Like 99% of Americans don't make that in a week. They win one night playing poker. That's pretty cool. That's
it's an awesome atmosphere here, too. You'll start seeing a lot of the same faces, individuals here. The staff here is second to none. You mentioned the GM, Mike Major. Now, that's a poker name in its own right there, Mike Major. We'll get Mike to hop on here with us in a minute, tell you about all the different events and everything they have going. We talked about Moneymaker, Chris Moneymaker, being out here yesterday, today, tonight, and tomorrow as well. He's playing cash games and in that tournament tonight. He'll be back tomorrow. Then if you can't make it out for these 3 days of the Chris Moneymaker week continues after he leaves Thursday night. Friday, $30,000 guaranteed tournament. $30,000. You're talking about making a nice paycheck and actually have your wife letting you in when you come in at 1 in the morning. Take first place home in that, Abdul.
Man, I'll do that anytime.
Just don't tell your kids.
She's not checking for lipstick on the collar seeing a stack of cash in your hand when you walk in the door.
Yeah, you win. You come home with that check.
You walk in the door, the kids are still not asleep talking about, all right, I need that pre-order at NBA 2K20.
Oh,
I mean, they already got the shopping list ready for
all
you.
All the games ready.
Absolutely. Jeez. Madden 20 just dropped out. Yeah, you're going to be buying it all for your kids. You take home first place in that tournament tonight or that 30K tournament that kicks off on Friday. Tomorrow they have Potluck Omaha, PLO tournament going tomorrow night. Mm.
I don't actually know what that means yet.
Omaha.
But I'm going to learn.
It's very similar to Texas Hold'em. I'm not great at Omaha. I stay with the Texas No Limit Hold'em. But there's some people that just swear by the Omaha. It depends. I'm betting Peyton Manning would be good at PLO.
Omaha!
Omaha! There you go.
100%, right?
That'd be a lot of fun. You know what else was a lot of fun?
Oh, get to it, Pat.
Watching the Houston Astros
just
stomp a mud hole and walk it dry. Jeez. In the Colorado Rockies. You know, the Texans open up preseason tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
So the Astros celebrated by scoring two touchdowns.
Absolutely. Oh my God. 14 runs on the board. Puts up, you know, in August, Patrick, they're 6-0. They haven't lost in their six games in August so far. So obviously I'm going to jinx that right now. But
why you got to do that? Why you got to ruin it?
You did the NH last
you
time,
need,
man.
You need.
But what happened the next game?
You're right. You're right.
You need to respect the baseball gods and stop trying to anger them.
Exactly.
Someone told me earlier I jinxed the Astros from having the best home record because the Dodgers were down 1-0 in the ninth inning. Two runners on, two outs, and if the Dodgers lost that game today, the Houston Astros, with their win at home today and the Dodgers in that game at home, would have moved into having the best home record in baseball. What else can you ask for? Mm-hmm. Not only the most exciting and best pitching staff, batters all the way up and down the lineup.
You know,
also,
we're into August, so, yeah, you know, Kershaw's kind of due to take a 30-day sabbatical.
Ooh,
right about now.
Man.
So, and
is that the reverse jinx?
Usually when he takes that sabbatical, the Dodgers' record kind of goes boop, 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 boop.
Well, yeah, the Dodgers come through with two outs, man on first and second. Wild pitch moves the runners to second and third. Then they get a single to bring in the two runs and win the game. So Dodgers still have the best home record in baseball. Gives the Astros something fun to play with as they smash everybody else in the month of August, and that 6-0 winning record for August. They're putting up on an average 9 runs a game while they're only giving up 2.2 runs a game.
Gurriel is just hitting out of his mind right now.
Oh,
man.
Tell him about the RBIs. Tell him about the RBIs.
We're going to have some fun
absolutely
with the Astros and some fun with numbers because
This
game started off, by the time the Astros finally got to the plate in the bottom of the first, they were down 1-0. It took all of one pitch for that to change, courtesy of Jose Altuve.
And why was he batting leadoff? I mean, we're talking about 14 runs. Who was not playing today? George Springer got a rest day today, and all the Astros did was go out there and put up 14 runs with Springer. Like, go ahead and take a break. We don't need you. It's just the Rockies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mikey, give us that Jose Altuve home run.
And Altuve to left. One pitch, one run, a leadoff homer for Jose Altuve.
Well, I was just going to make mention that a one-run deficit shouldn't be much of a problem for this Astro lineup to overcome, and it took one pitch to do it.
Courtesy AT&T Sports Southwest, Jose Altuve, first pitch he sees, goes yard. Would you like to take a guess how far that home run went?
I'll take a guess because I actually didn't see it today. I didn't see the distance. I'm going to say 416.
380.
380 on the head.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, Abdul, are you cheating?
Hey, I'm the baseball gods have blessed me since you didn't last time. You and Eddie jinxed them last week.
He's got the electrodes in the back of his head. You just don't see him. He's connected to the network.
There it is. I'm plugged in,
listen,
baby.
I'm calling a mulligan. I think I've been cheated here.
I'm plugged in, baby.
You know, and you mentioned Yuli Gurriel. Yuli Gurriel, who has just been on fire for a month. Mm-hmm. You know, the last series, I think it was only 1-for-10 in the last series. Well, that didn't last very long. Yuli Gurriel doing some yard work.
Man, damage. That guy is incredible right about now. Jeez.
Mikey, let's hear Yuli Gurriel's call.
3-2. Yuli to left, looking up, and that one is gone. Yuli Gurriel, his third home run of the series.
So Yuli Gurriel, who has just absolutely been tearing the cover off the ball, gave the Astros a 4-1 lead. also in the first inning. They never look back. They go on to win 14-3. Now, I said we'd have some fun with numbers. Do you want to have fun with Yuli Gurriel numbers?
I think there's a lot of fun to be had.
Okay. Yuli Gurriel today had 8 RBI.
Ooh, crazy.
That ties a team record.
That is crazy.
Would you like to take a guess at who he shares that record with now?
All right, I'm gonna tap out of this one because I did see this one earlier. So I let Abdul cheat again.
Don't let me do it.
Let's get the
don't
guess.
Let me do it.
All right, let me see it.
I can't. I'm out. I'm tapping out. I'm tapping out. I'm gonna pass on to my man Pat.
This further lets me know that you had an ace up on your sleeve, so to speak, out here.
Dude,
Texas
he landoed that. He had it in his hand. He landoed that. All right, J.R. Towels.
Oh wow.
Obscure Astros Quarterly, right? Jeez.
If I hadn't seen it earlier, there's no way I would have guessed J.R. Towels.
There are now 2 Astros all time who have had multiple 7 RBI games. One is Yuli Gurriel. 2 is
J.R. Towels. Oh no, 7 RBI games.
2
Jeff Bagwell.
There's 2 of them. It's Jeff Bagwell. So Yuli and Bags are now the only 2 Astros to have multiple games of 7 RBI. Now, Yuli, since June 23rd, 18 homers, which would already be like a career high for him.
Right.
48 ribs in 35 games. He's hitting .379 with a .1256 OPS.
Jesus, that is insane.
Insane.
Now, we're giving Yuli kudos here, rightfully so, obviously. But with George Springer out of the lineup, so imagine you're taking 2017 World Series MVP out of the lineup to give him a rest day. You know what? You know, Yuli was batting 6 today. You know what 1 through 5 did in that lineup to give Yuli the opportunities for these 8 RBIs? The 1 through 5 hitters, again, with George Springer out, had 9 hits and 7 walks.
Well, Yuli came up with the bases full 3 times.
He did. He did.
Could you imagine, like, every time you come to the plate, ducks on the pond, jackpot.
Man.
Every time you come up.
It's insane. I mean, it's what Yuli's doing this entire lineup. I mean, when you have a rookie, I don't know if this is more for Yuli or Jordan Alvarez. When you have a rookie come in that's been as hot as Jordan Alvarez, and he puts 2 hits up. I believe it was 2 hits for Jordan today. And doesn't hardly get any buzz, if any at all. It just really speaks to the type of bats that are in this lineup top to bottom.
Think about this, okay? In the middle of June, the Astros were looking at Edwin Encarnacion because their production at first base was 25th in the league. A week later, Yuli Gurriel goes on this insane tear. He leads the Astros with 80 RBI.
Oof. Man.
They were looking at needing a replacement. In the middle of June, his OPS was under 700. And all he has done is just literally...
Man's going crazy.
He's
nuts, man.
Somehow I'm not saying he's doing it. I'm just saying it looks like he. You know how in Space Jam they had Mike's secret stuff.
Uh-huh.
He found Barry Bonds' secret stuff.
Don't do that to Yuli.
And I'm not saying it had the cream and the clear in it. He just found the secret stuff because he's hitting everything.
Well,
over the wall.
Home runs are up across baseball, so let's not put
just
that
a little
Yuli.
Bit. All right, you know what? He wasn't the only guy who had a day today. We'll get to that next. This is Late Hits.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Texas Card House in Spring. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Texas Card House. Here's Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock, and Abdul Foster.
Late Hits ESPN 97.5. I'm Patrick Creighton alongside Jason Braddock, Abdul Foster. Thank you to our man Tyler Scott out here keeping us on the air and making sure that everything goes smoothly and nobody says bad words. That's very important. Mikey Head's back at the studios. Astros with a 14-3 win over the Rockies. We talk about how Yuli Gurriel, and Yuli just had a monster afternoon, but he wasn't the only guy to have a huge afternoon. Garrett Cole started this game.
G. Cole World.
Now 14-5. He goes six innings for the win. Struck out 10. Did not walk a batter. It is the fifth time this year that Garrett Cole has struck out at least 10 and not walked anyone. It is the ninth time in his very short tenure with the Houston Astros that he has done this, which ties a franchise record. The other pitcher to have at least 9 10-strikeout, no-walk games, Justin Verlander.
Oh, man.
So who do we heap praise on here? Do we heap praise on Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander,
yes,
or Jeff Luno? Man.
Yes.
He said yes to all.
Yes.
Just give
yes
it to everyone.
Just yes is across the board.
You're in a loving mood today.
Well, you know what?
He's happy.
When they got Zach Greinke, it was like, Astros just won the World Series.
Absolutely.
And people, there are a lot of people who thought that I was, you know, being overdramatic or that I was, you know, just trying to push the Astros envelope. They legit, I mean, look at that stat. Verlander, Cole, Greinke, Miley.
I'm glad you threw Miley in there.
Yeah. Miley's got the fifth best ERA in the American League.
That's what I'm saying. That tells you how great those top three are when Miley is just that asterisk, that an antidote. Like, oh, don't forget Wade Miley. No, I mean, this is top
because
to
he's
bottom.
Not a look. He's not a big name. He hasn't had a career filled with dominant seasons. He's had a couple of good seasons,
right,
a couple of awful seasons, but he's got the fifth best ERA in the American League. And we're in August, all right?
Yeah.
When you get to the point where you've had about 20 starts and you still have the fifth-best ERA in the American League, you're for real. And it was something we talked about before the season. Last year, before Miley came back for the second half and was with the Brewers, Miley added a new pitch. And a lot of times, older guys who don't necessarily throw as hard as they used to throw, they have to kind of reinvent themselves. Mm-hmm. He adds a new pitch, and last year, he was terrific for the Brewers. He was probably their best starter down the stretch. And he pitched well for them in the postseason. And I thought when the Astros signed him, he was an awesome value sign. He was exactly the kind of guy that Jeff Luno's looking for. The type of guy like what they were looking for, Rob, in Charlie Morton,
right,
3 years ago, was where can I find a guy that's got a lot of upside that we can coach the right way, that we can maximize and pay very little. The fact he signed for $4 million was kind of surprising. The fact that the Brewers, who right now are in a world of trouble because they got three starters who are hurt, that they let him go, and it was only $4 million. People complain, well, you know what? The Astros shouldn't have let Charlie Morton go. Charlie Morton signed a two-year, $30 million deal. He got paid a good chunk of money by Tampa Bay to go over there. The Astros looked at the risk-reward with him, the risk being his very long injury history, the fact that he'd never gone 3 years without being hurt before, and he just gave you 2 years of essentially not being hurt.
Right.
That the chances of him staying injury-free over a two-year period probably weren't great. And as we get into, you know, here we're into August, and Charlie's probably thrown about 140 innings. Well, Charlie threw, 160 innings last year?
Yeah.
He's only 20 innings shy of that. Are we not expecting Charlie's going to have to take a three-week siesta here? Because that train's never late. He was terrific here, but he threw 140-something, 160 innings. This was not Verlander or Cole chugging out 200-plus innings. Charlie can't do that anymore. Honestly, he never could. He's never thrown 200 innings. He's had a terrific season. I'm not trying to take that away from him. He's had a great season. And right now, if you look at the AL Cy Young race, Verlander and Greinke are 1-2, and Charlie Morton's probably 3.
Cole.
Yeah, sorry. You knew what I meant.
Yeah. Right.
JV and Cole are 1-2, and Morton's 3.
Who are you going with there? Let's say you put on your voter's cap, and you have to pick between Verlander and Cole.
Right now, it's a slight edge to Verlander.
Really?
It's a slight edge to Verlander. Cole has the better strikeout numbers.
Okay.
And it's going to get a lot closer if Cole hits that magic 300 strikeout
right
number. And he's striking out almost 13 batters per nine. He's very, very close. I think he's going to hit 300 strikeouts. That's going to make the voting a little closer. Cole's whip is about one even, which for a starter is phenomenal.
Right.
JV's is 0.81. I mean, I think the all-time record is Pedro Martinez in 2000, like 0.75 or so. Verlander is just slightly above the all-time record right. for a season for a starting pitcher. I mean, that you can't hit him. That is one of the most phenomenal things. You look at Justin Verlander at his age, and he is more unhittable now than he's ever been in his career.
Rooting interest. Let me switch it up on you guys a little bit. Verlander, with all the accolades, everything else that he has, what Cole's doing this year, combined with what he did last year, if you had to say who you would want to win it, is there a little bit more of you rooting for Cole? Not that you're against Verlander. I mean, you love Verlander and everything that he's brought to the table, but would it mean more to Cole?
You know, Cole's numbers are going to be so eye-popping at the end of the year. Gerrit Cole, unless – and this is kind of what it comes down to. If the Astros win the World Series,
right,
I think there is a chance – that Gerrit Cole says, you know what, I want to stay in Houston. I want the opportunity to have multiple rings. We are the greatest rotation, best three-man rotation since, like, you know, the 90s Braves of Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz. All three of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. Well, JV and Greinke are going to the Hall of Fame. And, well, Gerrit Cole, he puts a few more seasons like this right. together. Well, he's going to join them. Mm. But I think it's going to take that. If... On the other hand, if you're Gerrit Cole and you came to the Astros 2 years ago coming off a not-so-good season in Pittsburgh, never in your life did you imagine you were going to become a free agent with the opportunity to get the greatest free agent contract pitcher has ever gotten.
Yeah, I think he leaves, man.
And that opportunity to just absolutely break the bank.
Yeah.
Like, we're not talking Brinks trucks. We're talking Brink semis.
I tweeted out earlier at Jason Braddock on Twitter, at P. Creighton 1 and at Abdul Foster 9, all on Twitter. Tweeted out earlier a picture. I said, Gerrit Cole's offseason plans, and it's the picture of Scrooge McDuck diving into
the gold.
And just spitting out gold chains. I mean gold coins. It's going to be an entire semi.
When would you have another season put together like Cole's, or coming off last season as well, where he could break the bank
That's it.
You have to cash in on it.
This is the decision
that
he's
going to
make.
I mean, his agent would be banging on his door and saying, hey, man, let's go get paid.
I want my 3%.
I want my 10%.
I think a lot of this decision comes down to, do the Astros win? And then, do you want a truckload of money and the chance to continue to win? Or do you just want a mega truckload of money,
right?
And you know what? Screw it.
So business is, it would come down to what he could make in endorsements, in my opinion. And just from the looks of it, with those three together, he could possibly make it up in some endorsement deals. But
here's the other thing, right? If you're talking $32 million with the Astros, or $38 million with the Angels aren't winning anything. And how much of that money goes to the government when you go to California?
Great point. Before we hit this break, let me ask y'all both this real quick. The Astros bet. We're talking about Gerrit Cole possibly leaving, going to get that money. How much, you know, with the contracts coming up, and also something we probably don't talk about enough, the Astros having the second oldest bats, their lineup, second oldest in all of Major League Baseball, could that alter this World Series run? Again, I tweeted out earlier, LeBron James, when you asked him about the Astros, not one, not two, you know what I mean, about their possibility of winning the championship. How much can that alter the dynasty when you're talking about the bats being the second oldest in all of baseball, I think 29.8 years of age?
With the way they're hitting
now? With
the
free agents leaving, with Gerrit Cole, or is it just in Luno we trust to replenish, even though they traded all these great prospects to get Greinke?
Well, with the way they're hitting now, if they continue that trend, it's, you know, again, it's another – it's a pro in his bank for him to say, hey, I might want to stay.
There's an answer for this. Next.
Nice.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Texas Card House in Spring. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And sports.espn975.com.
Presented by Texas Card House. Here's Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock, and Abdul Foster.
Hey, we're live at Texas Card House, 1411 Spring Cypress Road in Spring. Former World Series of Poker champ Chris Moneymaker is here, and you can play against him. They're playing a tournament right now. It's a $10,000 guarantee. They're also doing cash games. They're doing, PLO, San Francisco,
PLO,
Omaha?
Potluck Omaha.
Okay.
And they'll have a PLO tournament tomorrow evening and Friday when we're actually back out here broadcasting from 7 to 9 late hits right from Texas Card House as well. They'll have a $30,000 guaranteed tournament on Friday.
It's really cool. You should check the place out. It looks great. You have big screen TVs everywhere. They got a full service bar. It's a really cool place. You want to play cards. The game is on. I'm a big, like, for me, I'm not a fan of grimy places. Like, I don't think, like, oh, but it's really cool. Like, no, I don't like grimy places. I like places that are clean, that are sharp,
nice. Yeah.
That look nice, that look modern, and this place checks all the boxes.
I second that. It's really nice here. Really has a nice ambiance to it. I might hop in with you.
Ambiance.
Oh,
well
played.
You like that?
He nailed that. The Edward Encarnacion.
Edward Encarnacion.
Oh, well played. Well played. Hey, kudos. We need to get a golf clap back in studio every time you nail a name. I'm jealous of
it. Let's do it.
Well, apparently I mispronounced J.R. Tolles. I said it was more like Towels, and Fred Fowler was quick to text me and say, it's Tolles.
See, I followed you off that cliff because I was like, I thought it was J.R. Tolles. And then he said, well, I'm not going to go against Pat
obscure,
Harris.
Obscure Astros.
So
I apologize
I'm right off
for the mispronunciation. But yes, it is J.R. Tolles. And as soon as Fred texted me, I was like, oh, man, I'm an idiot. I know that. But it's cool that Fred would jump in like that because
we thought you were
talking
about
his cousin. We can look out for each other.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
All right, so you were asking about the age of the Astros.
29.8 years old, second oldest bats when you look at the lineup through all of league baseball. This is per Baseball Reference.
But let's think about how accurate that really is.
Okay.
Because Josh Reddick is probably gone after this year.
Fair.
He'll only have 1 year left on his deal. They will find a taker for him. He was coming off a lousy year last year. Nobody wanted to take him with 2 years left. They're trying to move him. This year, he's only going to have 1 year. He's going to be coming off of a decent year. At least average-wise, it'll be a decent year. Defensively, he's still terrific. His OPS is very light right now as he has been in a slump that's reached about 58 or bats. I think he has 10 for 50-something going into the game last night, and then he had the triple. But that was the only hit he had. Reddick has been in a slump. He's seen his OPS fall about 30 points and really just since the middle of July.
Mm-hmm.
So 3 weeks, his OPS has fallen 30 points. He has kind of lost the power stroke. Now, he might get it back, but at the end of the year, he'll probably still have hit 280 or so, and he plays great defense.
And only
1 year, $13 million, they'll find a taker.
And let's say they go to what we all expect them to do, at least here in Houston, and that's going to win a World Series. Now Reddick, you know, you put a ring on it twice, right? So in the NFL, everybody gets paid when you win a Super Bowl. How much does that carry over for – I don't want to call Reddick a bottom-of-the-roster guy, but when you look at this lineup, you know, I mean, he's a 9-hole guy, maybe 8-hole guy. How much does that help his value as well when you're looking to move him?
It'll help his value a little bit, but really the bigger – because baseball is such a long season.
Sure.
Teams are looking at, you know, kind of big picture. Great defensive player, solid left-handed bat, has some power, not a lot of power anymore. I mean, there was a time when he was a strong power hitter. Has some power. With only 1 year on his deal, they'll find a taker for him, and that'll let George move over to right, or allow either Marisnik to play on a more of a regular basis, or it allows them to move Brantley to right, and then Kyle Tucker or Yordan Alvarez will take over left field. So what you're going to get is you're going to swap out an older player in Reddick for a younger player in either Tucker or Alvarez, Bregman is a young player. Correa is a young player. Altuve's 29. Yuli's the old man. He's, you know, mostly 36. And then Chirinos is an older guy behind the plate. So in reality, your older players are first base and catcher. Everywhere else, what, Altuve's 29, George's 29. You know, maybe those two guys are going to be 30 for next year if I really want to be stone cold accurate with it. But essentially, you got, if they bring Chirinos back, he's a little older player. Yuli's got another year on his deal. Everybody else is 30 or younger.
Yeah.
So when they say, you know, average age is 29 or so, you know, are they, where are they pulling from? Are they trying to pull the whole bench? Because, you know, Maldonado's, you know, probably around 30. Diaz is like 28. But they're not an old team. Their ages on the pitching staff are certainly much older than their ages in the field.
Yeah, but the way these pitchers are going now, I mean, you're basically playing to your Tom Brady's age.
Well,
pretty much.
Verlander is a classic throwback pitcher.
He's Nolan Ryan Jr. I mean, that's a disservice.
He's hurt so
infrequently.
He's Nolan
Ryan clone.
He's just a massive workhorse. And historically, he's been a I think he's been hurt twice in his whole career. The guy's an incredible 240 innings. And he's probably going to be real close. I mean, last year he had 287 Ks. He'll be right there again this year. Cole might push 300. I think Cole might actually crack 300.
So you're saying that, you know, with Gerrit Cole, you said last week and you brought it up again today that you're really starting to lean towards there being an actual chance of Gerrit Cole re-signing with the Astros. So I want to
I don't think it's the most likely chance.
Give me a percent or
Let's
odds, whichever way you want to go with
about
it.
About if the Astros win the World Series,
okay,
they'll have about a 30% chance of bringing him back.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to get
that's
out
a
there.
Good call.
I think a message could kind of be distorted where people are saying – Patrick Creighton saying they won a World Series, Gerrit Cole's coming back. But that's what I really wanted to relate to the listeners, that you're talking about, even if they win the World Series.
Right, but 2 months ago, that was 3%. Now, if they win the World Series, it'll be 30.
Right.
So it's exponentially 10 times greater because of the idea of what the Gerrit Cole, what his words were, what he said following the Granke trade. His excitement. Dude, he looked like a little kid. His eyes were huge talking about what a great day it is to be an Astro, how proud he was to be a member of this team. You can't fake that emotion.
But at the end of the day, it's business. And I went back and I took a look at who his agent was. It's Scott Boras.
Oh,
he wants to get paid. He's going to get his guys paid. He did.
Generally that happens, but ask Dallas Keuchel how well that worked out.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
But was Keuchel coming off a season?
Right, a season like that, though.
It's just the point of, look how long it took Manny Machado to get paid.
True.
Look how long it took Bryce Harper to get paid. And I would say Machado got a better deal than Harper did.
Fair point.
All right, teams are going to the extensions. Nolan Arenado got a huge extension, right? That guy's an MVP candidate every year for Colorado.
Right.
But the free agent market has drastically changed over the last 4 years. There were supposed to be 9 teams, buku bucks, ready to throw it at Bryce Harper. It didn't start until February.
True. That's true.
And he didn't get the $400 million that everybody thought he was going to get. He had a fight just to get a little tiny bit more than Manny Machado.
Yeah.
So, you know, and look, pitchers, because pitching is such a premium, it's also such a risk.
Baseball,
because nobody gets hurt more than pitchers.
Ooh. True.
If you have a choice, right, legitimately, if you have a choice, you can make $38 million and play on a 500 team. Mm-hmm. You can make $35 million and go get a ring, maybe two more rings. You can't find a way to make up that other $3 million?
That's why I said I think it'll come down to endorsements.
I mean, you go to California, you're losing $3 million in tax. Bam! Just
off
like
rip.
That.
Yeah, off rip. Yeah, don't get married, man, the Astros, if he isn't already.
Look, the Astros aren't going to get some mega home team discount.
Right.
Right? But if you're within a couple million a year, just the advantages of being in Texas versus being in New York, in Massachusetts, in California.
No state tax, baby.
That makes the difference. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk with former World Series of Poker champion Chris Moneymaker. We are live from the Texas Card House, 1411 Spring Cypress Road in Spring. Slate Hits.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Texas Card House in Spring. This is Late Hits on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Texas Card House. Here's Patrick Creighton, Jason Braddock, and Abdul Foster.
Late Hits, ESPN 97.5. We're out at Texas Card House, 1411 Spring Cypress Road in Spring. Former World Series of Poker champ Chris Moneymaker in the house. And he is he's pretty deep into a hand here. So we're going to have him as soon as he wraps up this particular hand. He's going to come out and join us here for a couple of minutes. A and the Fay on the text line. What up, fellas? Please tell me we're going to discuss Butchin and his 4-12 season coming up. Later on, we will discuss the Houston Texans. We'll have about an hour to talk. Plenty of Houston Texans. Odds the Texans score tomorrow more than the Stros did today?
That's a fair question because you're talking about A.J. McCarron being out, obviously, with the injury. They signed a quarterback, Jordan Tamu. But, I mean, you look at his struggles at quarterback there at Ole Miss, and what did Ole Miss have? You had A.J. Brown, NFL talent wide receiver, D.K. Metcalf. Even on the practice squad for the Texans, Floyd Allen was down the depth chart on that Ole Miss. So you had all these weapons, and he still was a subpar. This is just a guy.
Brandon Whedon was available.
Well, here's the thing. Why not go make a call or bring in a guy that can compete with A.J. McCarron? You always talk about coaches, GMs, everyone around the NFL.
Because that guy's banned.
You always say that's a fair point. You always say, and he was back in the news today as well, too.
He said he's ready.
You always talk about around the NFL competition at every position. Why wouldn't you have that backup quarterback position?
Well, we're all, you know, the elephant in the room is, you know, number 7 that came from the West Coast, you know.
Absolutely.
But in my opinion, he would probably be better than anybody would bring in.
Well, this franchise ran out Dwayne Brown. You're not bringing him in.
Hey.
More banned, Colin Kaepernick or True Life Crew?
Colin Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick. No question. Colin Kaepernick.
All right, joining us right now, he is
2003 World Series of Poker main event champion Chris Moneymaker.
He is, in fact, Chris Moneymaker. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Doing awesome. How's it going, guys?
Very well. Now, I've got to ask. It's odd for me because I'd never played Texas No Limit Hold'em back 16 years ago. Cut on ESPN, and I don't know what it was. I get drawn in to the tournament. The first time I ever watched any type of poker on TV, I'm like, who would watch poker on TV? And I'm like, oh, man. What's this? Well, how are they going to play this hand here? And I watched the entire thing. And then, obviously, as we all know now, you brought that home. What was it like for you? And let me also add into that the caveat. That's what got me into playing. That's when I first started playing Texas No Limit Hold'em. And when I watched you win that 2003 World Series of Poker, and it's odd, I hear that same story from so many people. So what was it about 2003, not only with you winning it, but how it just spread through the industry?
Well, it was a few things. One, you know, I'm an average everyday guy. You know, you look at me and you sort of see yourself, just someone you want to have a beer with. Just a normal guy. So me going up and playing against the pros, I actually ended up playing against a local pro here, Sammy Farhar, here from
Houston.
Absolutely,
right.
And he was the perfect villain for me to play against.
Yep.
I mean, he fit the typical, you know, professional poker player grinder. So he was the perfect opponent for me to play against. You had that perfect storm. And then you also had ESPN did just a masterful job of putting it together and editing it and making it compelling. And then the final thing is you had the NHL lockout going on, so there's nothing going to be put on TV during that time, and they were going to put – ESPN was putting whatever got the ratings on, and that just so happened at the time to be poker, and all of a sudden, you know, we got a massive poker boom. Online poker was taking off at that time. And, you know, so, yeah, that's when everybody kind of got into it.
Now, that's a great point about the NFL lockout. I'd never put two and two together with that, but it's an excellent point. Might have been what actually turned me toward with me spending most of my time around the NFL and evaluations. And
it was NHL lockout.
Well, they also had the NFL come. Was that 2012 when the NFL came?
2011 was the NFL lockout.
Yeah, so it was the NFL. Oh, well, yeah, you was 03, though.
Yeah, it was NHL lockout, yeah.
Okay, I got you. So the NHL lockout, so you got everybody watching it then. You mentioned having yourself that everyday guy at that 2003, and it came down to you from against Sammy Farha, right?
That's correct.
The last two, head-to-head. Inside, take us through it. Like, what's going on? Is your heart pounding, like, throughout the tournament, especially that head-to-head, and you're like, how am I going to beat this pro of the game, or you just stay calm with it?
Well, early on, I was definitely nervous, and it was, you know, just trying to survive day one. That was my ultimate goal, is to get through day one. Now, mind you, when you make it through day one, you don't make any money. So my goals weren't that lofty. I just want to, you know, basically survive. And every day, I came in with the same mantra, just get through the day. You know, survive the day. Play, make the best decisions I can, and try to survive. And once, you know, we got down the day before the final table, we ended up playing. We started at noon, and we played to like 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
So, you know, we were all dead. But I was 27 years old at the time, and I was the youngest guy at the table by quite a bit. So Sam and Dan Harrington, who got third, and a couple of the other guys, when we came back the next day, I think we came back at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon to start again. They were all dragging. You could just tell they were tired. And I was pretty hopped up on I was drinking water and Red Bull. You know,
and all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
If they had Mountain Dew, I would have been hopped up. It was Red Bull. Red Bull was the choice because that's all they had at the time. For whatever reason, the Binions didn't have the Mountain Dew. So anyways, by the time we got to like 2 in the morning, I was just – first, I was exhausted and then had a ton of adrenaline going on. But it was an amazing experience, and I think that Sam and all those other guys just got tired.
Chris, when did you know you wanted to play poker? Like, at what point did you decide, you know what, I can make a living playing cards?
I'll let you know when that happens.
Well played.
No, honestly, I quit my job in February of 2004. It was the turn. I played the World Series in 03, and then the next tournament I played was in 04. It was a WPT Bay 101 Shooting Star, and I got second in that event. And at that point, that was going on. The TV stuff had aired. PokerStars, my sponsor, was kicking in, and I realized that, you know, I either want to be retired, unemployed, or a poker player, whatever you want to call it. So that's when I quit my job, and I gave my employer, you know, a good 5 months notice that I'm probably going to be quitting at some point soon. So then they kind of had it figured out.
That's nice.
Now, so you didn't give them the, hey, I just won the lottery, I'm going to, you know, smash a bunch of things on your desk and buy. Yeah.
I like the people I work for. So I was back at work. You know, we got done Saturday. They had a big party at the restaurant for me on Sunday, and I was back at work Monday morning.
So how much was it hyperbole? We always hear the story about Chris Moneymaker wasn't even the best guy at his local card game. Now, is that hyperbole, or was there guys that were just constantly taking down the local game, and then you just got in there and just shocked yourself, if you would?
Yeah, no, there wasn't anybody better than me at the local game. I mean, you got to think, though, the local game was all limit hold'em. There was no limit hold'em back then. The only way that you found no limit Texas hold'em was playing online, and I started playing online, and no one else I knew played online poker. A guy down in Tunica told me about it, and I started playing it. It was really the only place to find no limit Texas Hold'em. There were no tournaments. You know, that was my first live tournament, so it was really impossible to judge, you know, that I'm the best or the worst in my local room, because all we ever played was Midnight Baseball, Chase the Queen, AC Ducey, and we hated playing Hold'em because it was all limit. So me and my friends never played Texas Hold'em.
Two quick questions. By the time you got to that World Series of Poker, you had obviously played before. Did you already have your favorites, like that legend, Dole Brunson, that you see him there and you kind of have that wide-eye moment? Or who was that guy you looked up to? And as a reminder, that was that very first – every year after that, you know, Raymer won the jackpot and the attendance grew. Do you remember how many people were in attendance that year and what the first prize was?
Of course. Yeah, I definitely remember the first prize when I won.
Absolutely, right?
No, okay, so I only knew three poker players by name back then, and most of it was from Rounders. I knew Johnny Chan from Rounders, right. I knew Phil Hellmuth, and I knew Doyle Brunson. Those are the only three poker players I knew and I could recognize. I was playing with Dan Harrington, who was a world champion on day one, didn't know who he was. I played with Phil Ivey, had no clue. So I didn't know any real poker players back then other than those three. It was 839 people the year I won, and I won $2.5 million. And then the very next year, it jumped up to 2537, and then jumped up to 5,000 the year after that. And, you know, we've been pushing this past year that we just finished up last month. We had almost 8,000 people in the event.
Celebrities are coming now. Yeah, ever since then, it's just more celebrities, more athletes. You see more of them players at the table.
Oh, yeah. We've got athletes playing more and more, and it's become just every walk of life is playing it.
All right, we got to get out here to break. That's 2003 World Series of Poker main event champion Chris Moneymaker. He's out here. He was out here last night. He's here tonight playing in the tournament that's already kicked off, and he'll also be out here tomorrow night. So appreciate you having on, Moneymaker. And before we get out of here, how have you enjoyed the Texas Courthouse facilities here in Spring, Texas?
It's an amazing setup here. You know, it's really nice. If you haven't come down, it's a new facility. They've done a really good job. They serve food. Every night I've been here, they're serving food. I'm about ready to go grab some of that. Cash games have been amazing. Tournament's going on tonight. We have a tournament tomorrow at 2. So could be happier.
Thank you for your time, Chris.
All right, thanks,
good luck tonight.
Thanks.
Chris Moneymaker, former World Series Poker champion, with us here on Late Hits. When we come back, we will get into your Houston Texans. Their preseason starts tomorrow night. What to look for in that game, we'll tell you next.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.